Welcome back to Change Ed.
Changed.
Honestly, I know I say we're the number one rated podcast in all of the world, but specifically in Texas. We have so many fans in Texas that we've just had an onslaught of guests from Texas who not only want to move to the Philadelphia area and Pennsylvania, but they want to be on this podcast.
I don't think I heard a single one of them say that.
Well, they said when we're off the air.
We just didn't record
it. Yeah, I didn't want to commit anyone to that. Mm-hmm. We are a podcast for educators by educators, and we're working hard to make sure that everybody has access to all of the amazing things that are happening in education, freely sharing all of this because we want them to hear these conversations and be inspired by all of the great things that are happening and the way that education is changing and evolving. Mm-hmm. My name is Andrew Kuhn. I am the favoritest host of all time on this podcast,
no,
at least.
No, that was decided definitively at P&C. The favorite was not you, sir.
Yeah, unfortunately, that information got destroyed in a boating accident.
I think I have a picture of it somewhere.
Anyway, I'm an education consultant at Montgomery County Intermediate Unit, and here with me is...
Patrice Semichek.
Second favorite.
Except the votes don't lie, sir. The stickers don't lie. I'm an educational consultant at the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit. Changing stuff up.
Changed. Patrice, we have a...
Phenomenal guest.
Here with us is a gentleman and organization that is actually a very big impact on our expo this year.
Yeah.
And had a big impact on the design that we had on the expo this year and even the thought process. I would like to introduce Greg Triest from Amplify. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, it's so great to be here. How are you guys doing?
Good.
It is a great day.
Great day. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Greg, if you don't mind just giving us a little bit of your background, we know you have a lot of experience coming with you in an array of areas, and you're a well sought after person in many realms of education. So if you don't mind just giving us a brief overview, that'd be great.
Sure. It was funny. I was thinking about this the other day. There's usually a moment when you're doing a workshop or you're presenting where they just by default, they want your bio slide up there, gives you highlights. I've honestly always wanted to just make one that says, I was a student and I struggled, and I became a teacher and I struggled.
Mm.
Because it's kind of like the struggle is where so much of all the learning that I've done has come out of that. But to give you just a very quick, more traditional one, I was a student who struggled. And at some point, I really said to myself, okay, there's a way to do this. I don't know what it is, but it made me want to pursue that. And I had a couple of really influential teachers, and I just kind of, it was almost like I never made a decision to teach. I always knew it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to do that. And I've done that in a little bit of time in private school, in a charter school in Texas, and then at Dallas ISD. So I got to really work with students with learning differences. And it was just the most meaningful stuff I've ever done. So
I love that you said the learning happens in the struggle. And one of the things that we talk a lot about with the Pennsylvania, they're called STEEL standards, but NGSS is really what it comes down to, is we as educators, the shift in my mind has to be, we have to stop stealing our students' struggle, because the struggle is where the learning takes place. And when we stand and deliver too often, we're giving them everything and we're not allowing them opportunities to struggle and to learn. And sometimes we associate the idea of struggle with negativity. And in reality, we can shift that mindset so that when we see a struggle, it's when we're creating new pathways in our brain and we're getting more wrinkles in our brain. And that's the way I would describe it to my own kids, is that, well, I can't give you everything because I want you to have the wrinkliest brain possible. And the way to do that is to have some struggle and to learn through what you're going through. So I really appreciate you saying, I was a student who struggled and a teacher who struggled. And now that's where I learned that all of the learning happened. I love that.
You know, Greg, through all the conversations we've had, one thing really resonates with me about you and your personality is that you're a very reflective person, and you find very meaningful analogies to connect the learning. So it always comes off as so genuine, right? When you said, I was a student and I struggled, and I was a teacher and I struggled, that's like, I mean, that's raw, right? Like, here it is. This is really how it went for me. I'm not sugarcoating it. This is how it was. because I think what I appreciate is the way that you draw people in as well with that vulnerability that you show as well.
Yeah, thanks so much. I found that when I was a teacher for a long time and we would have people come in and talk to us, you know, different workshops, different PD, I found that the more they knew and the more they established themselves like, hey, I'm an expert in this, and it would make me less likely to participate because I was like, wow, this person coming in really knows their stuff. But it's like when I open up and say, wow, teaching is challenging. And maybe it's easier to some of you and some other teachers I've worked with. But I find that when you lead with the things that you struggle with, the things that your work in progress, I really find that people want to get involved and they are so open to that. And I think it's just a great way to connect because we're all feeling it, right?
Yeah, they can see themselves in your conversation. That's where I see the most impact.
And with our steel standards, so much of it is about shifting our instructional practices. And you model that because you're being a lead learner and saying, here's where I am. Let's have a conversation. You're not saying, I'm the expert. I know how to handle all this. I've been through it all. Here we go. Instead, you're inviting others to say, hey, let's create this learning community right here, right now. Let's do this together.
Really excited for your opening session at the expo.
You and I talked offline about your neurodiversity session that you provided. If I remember correctly and understood you correctly, this is something that you've been working on for a while that you really wanted to work through. And I wonder if you can kind of take us through that process. How were you inspired? And then what was the work development like?
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to try not to turn this into a 2-hour podcast.
Totally fine if you do.
We're out of time. Oh. Thanks so much, Greg.
No.
You have a rapt audience.
Just to give you a little bit, for that day when it was just so fortuitous where you guys walked in, I still had what I have a lot, which is the morning of, up to me, a presentation or a session is never really finished. I'm always thinking about it. Could it be better? But the morning of, I definitely still get the, is anyone going to walk in the door anxiety.
We do too.
Because there were times when you could say, I'm going to focus, you know, you could be at NSTA or regional conference and you could say, I'm going to focus on diverse learners. And a lot of mine have neurodiversity in the title because I want people to know that's where I'm going to, the direction I'm going to go. I'm just so happy that now people are really receptive and it's like, people are walking into the room. And there were a time where it was more of a lift to get people, because if you look in most conferences, you're up against 5, 10, 15 other sessions in that time slot, all of which I would love to go to, you know? So it's a big honor when someone walks in and I said, okay, I really want to give them something to walk away with. What I want to just say as briefly as I can is the reason why I love the steel standards more than anything else is really this. Imagine if we had two teams of experts, of stakeholders, of teachers, of administrators, of parents, community members, and we asked the first team to go into a room and design a curriculum that's modern and it reflects how people do science rather than, you know, historically how we teach and learn science. If they come up with something modern and has a real connection to the workplace and the workforce and the 21st century, they would go in and do their work. And then if we asked the second team to design a curriculum completely built for diverse learners, for students who don't succeed in a lot of the traditional ways or the traditional learning models, what I think is so amazing is they would both come out with exactly the same thing. They would both come out with steels because there's just so much overlap. And it's a modern approach, but it's also an approach that has so much equity built right into it. So it's just such a great direction.
I love that it has entry points for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the way that you present a phenomenon, it has with the notice and the wonder and the prompting conversations and questions, it just opens it wide up. It's natural differentiation, right? Built right in. So you're getting your students who need more support, as well as your students who are advanced learners, into the same space and having these really great conversations where minds can be shifted and minds can be changed, as opposed to like, I'm going to tell you what needs to be here and you have to regurgitate what I'm hearing. I agree with you. I think they blow the doors wide open for all learners.
We're teaching to all. The goal is teach to all, not to some. And that's...
And meet them where they're at.
And meet them where they're at, right? Like invite them into the conversation so they can be part of the learning and part of the conversation. I really really loved how you said that a session's never really finished, right? And that's a good, strong mindset for all of us to embrace, as students, as educators. Actually, it doesn't matter what you are doing or who you are, that something's never really finished. Not that we can never have it be good enough, but there's always room to grow and to learn and to improve. And I think that's actually built into Steels as well. There's always more questions we can ask. We can always be more curious. Conversations or podcasts we have, we can find that we can go down a rabbit hole because somebody will bring something up and I'm like, I have so many questions about that. That's a wow, right? Like, I'm curious, I'm interested. And I found that through NGSS and specifically through Steels here in Pennsylvania, that I feel that I've been empowered, that it's okay to ask those questions, not that it's a nuisance or I'm frustrating someone or getting them off task. Instead, yeah, that's a great question. Let's lean into that. Let's see what that is. Let's get a little bit more involved.
Yeah, totally. And you know, it's funny, that process of a session never being finished, I really get inspired by the groundwork of NGSS in one simple way. Whenever I deliver like a workshop, if I get asked a question, and I absolutely love getting questions, what my goal is the next time I deliver a similar workshop is to not get asked that question, because I want to put it in my message. Mm. And it's that almost sounds like I don't want questions, but it's almost like when I'm asked a question, someone is saying, hey, this is important to me and you've left this out. And it's almost like I'm saying, thank you. I need to know what I'm not addressing. And I would much rather talk to what's on your mind than mine. So it's like, I'm so grateful when hands go up or, you know, they don't have to raise hands when they just, I usually get a little bit of a chuckle when I say, I've spent a lot of time in middle school, so I'm most comfortable when I'm being interrupted. You know, I say I have a very lenient policy on eating in the session. So
I love that. Well, it also shows that they're super engaged in what you're talking about, because if I have a question, I'm processing what you're saying to me and I need to think about it and I want to get clarity and I'm excited enough about what you're talking about that I want to ask this question. I think that's important too for educators to keep in mind that questions aren't bad things. They're not questioning your authority or your thinking or any of that. They're questioning, like, they're engaged and excited to be learning what you're learning. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I find answers to be stop signs and I find questions to be the green light. Sometimes, especially when I was a newer teacher, I would say, oh, wow, I'm going to really challenge them here. And then someone's hand would go up and I would say, oh, okay, you're right. Take out something to read.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes finding an answer. It's just like, I love the shift where it's really saying, what can we figure out here? What questions could we ask? Where can we take this?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be unique to every student. And it's a great feeling.
Well, and really, even in sessions that we do now, it'll be the same thing. If somebody's seen a phenomenon even remotely related to what we're doing, we're like, hold that, right? Same thing. I love how you said that. That's a stop sign. I don't need the stop sign yet. I need the green light. Even a yellow light's fine. We want to engage in the learning and to build up those neurons, like build up the synapses that's connecting it all. And I want you to think through it. I'm not looking for the answer yet. The answer can come. But also this strong acknowledgement that the answer is the answer today. Mm-hmm. But we could come into new information that could change that answer. And we need to be prepared for that. What does that look like? You know, it doesn't mean that it's rocking the foundation of everything in existence. It means that, well, we've gained new information. We are able to change our stance on things in light of new information, in light of things that are discovered. When you said about them asking questions, it made me think that based off your philosophy and how you're doing it, you, I think, have a good idea of, like, the depth of the question indicates the depth of understanding. So if you've been able to continually to improve it, you're delivering a different and thereby an even better session. But then the questions you get, they go more and more in depth. You know that there a deeper understanding for each session, that they understand it more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it reminds me of, sometimes I get looks when I say this, but like, if you just sat down and read the Steels standards and kind of went deep with it, it's really hard to do these things in isolation. These things lend themselves to collaboration. Mm-hmm. That's just so great, because we're going to learn from one another. We're going to learn with one another. And I really want, anytime I get to speak to teachers too, to be just as much of a collaboration. Like, I have this saying where it's only a presentation until the first person asks a question, because when that happens, it becomes a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's just, every teacher knows what it's like to draw up a plan and then maybe they're just not connecting with it. But when you see where they are connecting with, it's like, ooh, ooh, I'm just going to go with this, go in that direction. Because it's like, if you've got student engagement and it's okay to say, we're going to pivot here and go left where I thought we'd go right, you know?
That's sometimes that's where the best learning takes place, is when we remove ourselves from the barrier.
When we pivot, And pivoting can be nerve-wracking in the moment. And even how we process as adult learners or process as educators, and to be able to empower yourself through that and say, I need a minute. Whatever your process is, embrace your process. But there's a lot to be said about in the moment learning and in the moment education, which is why when we have students, they're in person with us. We're teaching that group of students, instructing them, the students that are with us. Otherwise, you know, you could record what you say and it's, here's all the knowledge you need about this experience. But that's not how we've learned that the brain works and how we can engage students and engage learners. So, Greg, we are at the end of our time. This has been our 15-minute-ish podcast with you. And I would love to just open it up if you have any kind of a closing thoughts that you want to share, or the ultimate teaser. You're going to be bringing the circus with you. Everybody gets a free ticket. I don't know, whatever it may be. No pressure.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. I really am just so honored that I get to talk to you about something I'm really passionate about, both as a teacher and as a neurodiverse person. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I love Philadelphia. I love Pennsylvania. It's really not the place to bring a diet, but you know, I'm going to do my best to have a little bit of a cheat day.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't come
super
here.
Super easy to have cheat days in Philly.
Yeah, you shouldn't be coming here pre-beach season, but yet you are. So good luck with that.
One day isn't going to ruin your diet.
Yeah. Well, Greg, I have a lot of things that I wrote down, and trying to give us a final thought on this is, quite frankly, I'm not going to be able to do it justice, but there are two things that I wrote down, and one is a final thought. But before that, I want to say that our learning is never finished and that we need to lean into the learning. We shouldn't lean away from it. We need to lean into it and all that it has to offer. There are going to be bumps. There are going to be sidetracks. There are going to be bruises even, but you learn through all of that and we become better. So we should continue to do that in our craft and model that, even as you do with your work. You're modeling the learning. You're being a model learner. On behalf of the entire CJ team, I'd like to thank you, Greg, for coming on. We're excited to have you at our Steels Expo on April 23rd. Yeah. Thank you to our listeners for being such dedicated and faithful fans of the show. We appreciate you. We would like to remind you to throw out your stop signs and turn on all of the green lights in your classroom.
There we go.
Get rid of the answers. Lean into the questions.
Well, don't get rid of the answers. Still have some answers.
Hide the answers.
Hide the answer. Pull out the stop signs at appropriate times.
Oh, okay.
Like a crossing guard.
Make sure you subscribe and tell your friends.
And if you want to learn more,
go to learn.mciu.org/change it.